It's a rare timber sale on public lands that goes off without controversy in our region. The Pipe Fork Project in the Williams area in Josephine County is typical in that sense. There's great interest in what happens along the banks of Pipe Fork Creek. Preservation, Port Orford cedar, clear cuts, and more are part of the discussion about what will happen there. Let's get into what's happened so far and what could happen from here. Three guests join us. Dan DeYoung is a Josephine County commissioner who's been meeting with the community to talk about options. Commissioner DeYoung, thank you for joining us.
Yes, good morning.
Dave Streeter is with us as well. He's Josephine County's forestry director. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
And Chaz Rogers is with us. He's the coordinator of the Williams Creek Watershed Council. Chaz, thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it was good to have you all together. Dave Streeter, if you would, as the forestry director, give us the nuts and bolts of the project, land ownership process, how many acres of trees, all that.
So the total ownership is a 320-acre tract. And we were proposing a 114-acre timber sale on that tract out of the 320. It was going to produce about 1.445 million board feet of timber. The minimum bid to get on board for the sale was just shy of $270,000. Mm-hmm. Most of our sales sell with a bid premium on top of that minimum most of the time, but you never know what's going to happen.
We should point out to the folks who are listening, maybe not familiar with Josephine County is unusual in the amount of forested land that it owns, and that's why there is, in fact, a forestry director in the person of you.
Yes, we manage about 28,000 acres of timberland. I believe we are the second largest county ownership timberland in the state behind Hood River County. Coos County owns less acres than we do, but are far more productive than we are.
So in the Pipe Fork Project, then 114 acres of the 320 that Josephine County owns, what are the treatments? Because I keep hearing the word clear cut used a lot. I need to hear from you what the plan is.
Yes, it is a proposed clear cut or regen harvest. By ordinance, I'm required to manage the lands for the maximum growth of timber volume and revenue for all the citizens of the county. And because the stands on this particular tract are in the slower part of the growth curve, this makes sense to take the timber. It's about 60-year-old timber. In the slower part of its growth curve, thinning it won't encourage faster growth at this point. And so I've proposed to do the regen harvest, get it back into the younger cycle, and get it back into growing timber for the folks of the county in perpetuity.
Okay, so we have the outline of the project. Now, Chaz Rogers, I want to hear from you next at the Williams Creek Watershed Council and give the short list of your concerns about Pipe Fork as envisioned.
All right, yeah. Pipe Fork is a really amazing legacy forest, and the county owns 320 acres, including the riparian area. And in that riparian area is located a Port Orford cedar population that is really amazing. There's an enormous amount of water coming out of Pipe Fork, and it flows through the county lands. And their efforts to clear-cut this will drastically affect this water flow and the creek system where the Pipe Fork, the Port Orford cedar grow. Clear-cutting on that south-facing slope would be detrimental to the whole valley itself. It's a narrow canyon, and it contains enormous amount of variety of species of trees and rare plants, along with wildlife that is really important to the story of the Port Orford cedar.
Well, that's rare for Port Orford cedar to be that far from, well, from Port Orford, from the ocean, really, is what it gets down to. They tend to be in much more moist climates, don't they?
It is. It's the easternmost range of Port Orford cedar within Oregon. It's an isolated population. It has unique genetics on the trees themselves. They think that they could be some of the rare Port Orford cedar varieties that could be resistant to strains of root rot that are important for the recovery and the sustaining of the Port Orford cedar for a long period of time. Pipe Fork is a unique environment.
So the root rot is not happening there? Is that what you're saying?
Root rot is not in the BLM section, but we have found it on the county property. For some reason it brings it in with logging companies. Mm-hmm. It's a disease that came from over in the southeast and is now invading the Port Orford cedar and also the Pacific yew. And we have found it on the county property, so we're hoping that they will not enter there and start to spread it more.
All right. Dan DeYoung, let me bring you in here because I noticed that there have been meetings, or at least there were some meetings planned as the pandemic descended upon us. What has happened in terms of outreach to the community? What has been discussed? What options have been explored?
Well, we as the board, we received just a ton of emails and written letters and stuff from the folks in the Williams area regarding pipe fork. And so I met with Dave Streeter, and we thought, you know what, let's go out there and have a meeting and just address concerns. We had a town hall meeting, I believe about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and it was well attended. It was probably, would say, about 130 to 150 people showed up. We had it in the park in between the Grange and the store, so that we were outside, and it was a nice, pleasant evening. And we exchanged an awful lot of information back and forth, and we basically wanted to explain there are different options for this particular stand. First off, there's a possibility of the people of Williams getting together with an organization, maybe like the Conservancy or something, and becoming a bidder to buy the timber, but then we also made sure that they understood if they were to be a successful bidder on the timber sale, just the timber, that they were mandated to cut it within 3 years. So that probably wouldn't be one of their options. But we also talked about conversations with the BLM. Those BLM is our neighbors out there, the county's neighbors, and the possibility of a land swap with BLM. That's still an ongoing conversation. We touched on it lightly yesterday. We met with two BLM folks here at the office, and that was a subject that was encroached. So we wanted to hear what the people of Pipe Fork had to say, and we heard them loud and clear. We also gave them there was some good options came out from them. Maybe the possibility of forming a taxing district out in Williams and getting voter approval from the people involved with the taxing district out there, and maybe a property tax with which they could buy Pipe Fork. And buy, possibility of buying all 320 acres, buying the land and the trees, mm-hmm. and then they would have full ownership of it, just like we have now. Our concern is that the money that is generated from this goes to some programs that everybody in the county benefits from. One of them is veterans, and the other one is CASA, which is court appointed. Special advocate for young people that get in trouble with have domestic problems at home, and they need representation in the court system, and then also juvenile shelter, which is a shelter that we provide, the county provides, for youth that can find themselves in a situation at home and have nowhere to go. They can be brought into the juvenile shelter. So these are all important programs, but we just want to make sure that everybody knows all the different options, because a lot of times these things happen, and then they go, well, gee, nobody told us. So this is probably, I think, one of the, well, since I've been here in 4 years, this is probably one of the greatest example of outreach that I think I've ever encountered. And we had a good input, and we did agree, the board agreed to pull it off of the, it was that sale was scheduled for April, but COVID set in, and of course we bumped that, and the price of timber was down. So we bumped it into the fall sale, which would have been happening this month. So we took that. We agreed to take that off out there and then move it into the spring sale of 2021. That'll give, probably 7-8 months for the people of Pipe Fork to kind of get organized out there and see if there's some kind of option that they wish to produce and bring to the table. The board has put a drop-dead date of whether or not to put it on the spring sale of 2021. The Board of Commissioners will make that decision by the end of February. So we need some real, we encourage the people of Pipe Fork, if they're going to make a move, don't wait until the 11th hour, because that, we, you know, we're, we made that commitment that we'd put it off until spring of 2020, and we'll stay with that.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. Dan DeYoung is a Josephine County Commissioner. Dave Streeter is the Josephine County Forestry Director. We're talking about the Pipe Fork Timber Project, 320 acres, of which 114 are proposed for clear cutting. Chaz Rogers joins us as well. He's the coordinator of the Williams Creek Watershed Council with concerns about the timber sale as planned. Join us on the Exchange. Questions, comments are welcome at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Commissioner DeYoung, back to the value. I mean, if somebody were to offer to buy the land, would they have to buy? I mean, you talked about buying the land and the timber, but will they have to essentially buy the value of that years into the future, because it is designed to be productive forest land, bringing in income for the county?
Well, one of the things that could happen is if, for instance, we put the whole 320 up, land and resource, both, you know, the price is not going to be, you know, the $270,000 minimum bid. It's going to be quite a bit higher than that because of the value of the land and the timber. But we could take that money and purchase land elsewhere and grow trees on that. You know, we can move that around and, you know, take something out of our inventory, purchase something to put back in our inventory on a different slope, on a different place, and go from there. So, you know, it's one of the things is this is going to go out to, it's going to, has to go to auction because of the way the county acquired the property by foreclosure, clear back in 1930 or somewhere in that vicinity. So it has to go out to out to public auction. It will be a sealed bid auction. So when you put a number down on that paper and stick it in the envelope, you've really got to make sure that that's a strong number, because if you miss it by $10, I would guess that one of the other bidders would probably be a timber company, and it would go really not your direction in a hurry. So that's kind of the way it'll shake out. But we would probably anticipate buying other land with that. It would go right back into the forestry program, that's for sure, into the resource program.
A couple of emails actually came in last night, including one, and then there's another one this morning. So one from Zeke and Roosh asks, and I'll ask this of Dave Streeter first, about clear-cutting mountainous forest land and how that affects water quality, quantity, and seasonality of flow, and what effect the clear-cut might have on the BLM Research Natural Area adjacent to this land in the Pipe Fork area. That from Zeke in Roosh. Dave Streeter, take that on, please.
So first off, I guess resource natural areas have a boundary for a reason, and that's not on our property, just like a wilderness area has a boundary, and those boundaries need to be respected both directions. That's where it ends, and that's where management begins. In terms of water, the Oregon Forest Practice Rules requires buffers along streams to mitigate disturbances to streams. There is no doubt that facts show that timber harvest of any kind increase the quantity and the duration of flows in streams. So there's no doubt that that would likely occur, but to the devastating effect that folks are trying to get people to believe, I don't think that's necessarily a fair representation.
All right. So
what happens is you get a small increase until the new seedlings grow up and start taking on that water and using it through transevaporation. It does happen, but I don't think it's devastating as it's being represented. And those areas have all been clear-cut out there in Williams for years.
So you mentioned this is 60-year-old timber, so it was clear-cut 60 years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any other approach that would work? I mean, any other selective cut? Are you talking about keeping any trees per acre standing?
Well, we're going to still have plenty of trees on that tract. And under the forest practice rules, we are required to leave 2 per acre standing. Mm-hmm. But typically, we like to do that in a bunch area someplace and not scattered throughout the sale area, because it causes safety issues associated with the harvesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Chaz, how are things going on the end of trying to find people to buy the land or buy the timber or some combination thereof?
Well, we do want to buy the property, and we're working very diligently to find buyers, and we're also talking very much with the BLM to do a land swap or a purchase through the Land and Water Conservation Act. So that process is ongoing, and we're active on that. The other thing about this clear cut is they're going to clear cut right up to the boundary of the RNA. This is where the Port Orford cedar grow, and this clear cut is a south-facing slope. It will dry out that valley. You know how hot it is right now? It's going to be super hot once that goes. They're not going to be able to replant trees and have them regenerate, like he says. It all sounds like a really good story, but it's not going to happen that way. We've seen it in many other clear cuts. So there are many problems to this process that they're trying to do. And this is a legacy forest in here, and it extends all the way down into the county property. It all should be part of the RNA. We should not be able to get in there and change the ecology of that forest just because they want to clear cut the upper slopes.
Dan DeYoung, how much coordination is going on between you and the folks in because it sounds like the meetings, for example, that the commissioners are having with BLM are happening, you know, in one venue, and then you got the discussions with the folks in Williams on the other about their efforts. I mean, are those coordinated on a regular basis?
Well, yesterday we had BLM come in. Vincent and Bill came in, Bill Dean. He's a new guy for down here in Southern Oregon, and it was kind of odd because, you know, we don't hear from BLM very often, and we made a vow yesterday to hear at least once a year, and I would, you know, we kind of suggested quarterly, and don't be a stranger. We need to be coordinating on most of the stuff than anything else. But I wanted to clarify one thing on the RNA that it is not the whole BLM tract next door to ours is not considered RNA. It's taken acre by acre by BLM, and they quantify. They you know, take a look at everything involved there, and that's how they decide which acre by acre goes into it. So it's not the whole BLM track, I don't think. I haven't seen a, you know, I've asked for a map on what is actually in the RNA and what isn't.
So Chaz, is the Research Natural Area contiguous?
It is. It's right next to the county property. And yes, it doesn't include all of the BLM property.
Right.
It's the most high-value property of that riparian area where the Port Orford cedar grow and where the water flows. It's the most important part of the landscape, and that landscape continues down through the county property. It is the most beautiful habitat in that county property. They don't know what they have there. They were given that a long time ago. They haven't seen it. We have, and it's amazing with rare plants and lots of Port Orford cedar, other types of large trees, very large old-growth trees that are inside that canyon. And if they start clear-cutting, it's going to make a mess of the whole canyon system.
All right, let's take a call here from Sandy and Williams. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about Pipe Fork with Chaz Rogers, Dan DeYoung, and Dave Streeter.
Thank you so much. I live in Williams, and Pipe Fork stream has certainly been getting a lot of attention. So, Chaz, I'm wondering, what makes the Pipe Fork so special?
Well, the amazing thing about Pipe Fork is it's spring-fed. It flows year-round through that canyon. There are huge amounts of water flow in the winter, but it's consistent in the summer. It flows water all the way down into Williams. It's used by agriculture, grazing, and also this habitat for the salmon. We have great runs of salmon throughout Williams, and especially in the East Fork, and this water produces cool, clear water for that habitat. We need that. Williams is water limited. We do not have any reservoirs. We don't have any other sources except for our springs and our creeks. And our springs come out of Pipe Fork to help keep this water flowing. So this is so important to the Williams Valley and also to the forest there. There are waterfalls in there. There are beautiful pools. There are salmon that live in the East Fork that we do a lot of habitat restoration. I have spent a lot of years in the last 20 years building habitat for salmon in the East Fork. Pipe Fork is the headwaters of East Fork of Williams Creek and so important to our valley.
We have an email from Luke in the Applegate Valley. I think you know which Luke here too, Chaz, but he's talking about Pipe Fork being proposed as a wild and scenic river. Has that been officially proposed? Has something been sent up?
It has been proposed for that, and that goes through a legislative process. I've contacted Jeff Merkley, Ron Wyden, Peter DeFazio. We're going to contact the governor. those are the people that help us decide whether it's a wild and scenic designation. So we're hoping it gets there, but that's a process that will take some time.
All right. We have another email from Greg, no town given, asking about Port Orford Cedars, which brings me back, Dave, to a question about sanitation. I know from having covered the story about Port Orford Cedars and the root rot, Phytophthora lateralis, that they were doing one-way roads and stuff in the forests in Curry County to make sure that the root rot was not backtracked into the woods. Are you taking are you planning on any sanitation measures like that around the Port Orford Cedar in that area?
Yeah, so to be clear, this property doesn't have near the Port Orford cedar that's being represented on it. In fact, our timber sale only has about 20,000 feet of Port Orford cedar on it, of which, like Chaz had mentioned, some of that's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not salvaged now, it will just rot. So there's not a huge amount of Port Orford cedar there, and typically that root rot travels through moisture. And so that property that we have is accessed through native surface roads, so there would only be dry season harvesting in that area, and that's the biggest mitigation that we would have.
You mentioned 20,000 feet of Port Orford cedar. What does that mean in terms of trees or acres of Port Orford cedars or some figure?
It means about four or five log truck loads is all that exists in that sale.
All right, Chaz. Are you hopeful that something will be able to be worked out here?
Well, they got a problem there because their timber sale crosses through that small tributary where those dead cedars are, and that's where their root rot is coming down the mountain into the stream system. And so, once they start driving through that and putting roads and clearing out the trees, it's going to spread it, and that loosens it up and will start to flow down the stream systems and enter into the East Fork Creek and go into Williams. We got a big problem here, and they're not really addressing it. They're just trying to go to it. Their boundary around the creek is only about 50 feet, and the Port Orford Cedar go out 150 feet from each side of that creek.
Okay.
So they need to redesign this.
Right. Not the last we've heard of Pipe Fork Timber, I am confident. Chaz Rogers is the coordinator of the Williams Creek Watershed Council. Dave Streeter, Josephine County's Forestry Director. Dan DeYoung, Josephine County Commissioner. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.